2006. My name is Dana Pretzer. You are listening to the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. Of course, our webpage is www.scaredmonkeys.com/radio. There you can listen to the show live, listen to podcasts of past shows, and of course, hear our daily commentary. Tonight, Drew Kesey. Drew is the dad of Jennifer Kesey, who has been missing since January 24th, 2006. The webpage to learn more about this tragic case is www.findjenniferkesse. Kesse is spelled K-E-S-S-E .com, www.findjenniferkesse.com. And I think jenniferkesse.com is working now, too. Drew will be on Greta Van Susteren's show on Fox News on November 21st at 10 o'clock Eastern to update Greta about what's happening with the case, and I'm very happy to have him on the show tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about with the holidays coming up and the tragedy of having someone missing. How much do the holidays affect this? It's got to be a terrible time. So that's tonight on the Dana Pretzer Show here on the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. We'll be back in just a minute or two with Drew Kesey.
If you believe in forever, the happy just
we're back. This is the Dana Pritzer Show on the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. Jennifer Kessie has been missing from Orlando, Florida, since January 24th, 2006. Jennifer, at the time, age 24, description, 5'8", shoulder length, sandy blonde hair, green eyes, 125 pounds. Her car was located at Texas and Americana in Orlando, Florida. Of course, we've featured and focused on this tragic case of a beautiful young gal that's missing many times on the program, and I encourage you to go to the webpage, www.findjenniferkessie.com. There's a reward, there's tip lines, confidential lines, you name it. And it's my pleasure to have on Drew and Joyce Kessie, Jennifer's parents, on the line with me this evening. And I want to remind you also that Drew, I'm not sure about Joyce, so let me know in a second, I'm sure, will be on Greta Van Susteren's show on Fox News Tuesday, November 21st at 10 o'clock Eastern. Folks, how are you? Welcome back to my program.
Good evening, Dana. How are you?
I'm okay.
Joyce will be with us on Greta's show also, yeah.
Oh, Joyce will be with you too? Okay, great. If I could get you just to speak up a little bit, Drew.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better. Yeah, I appreciate that. Now, you know, October 24th, you've been on the show. It was 9 months. God, you hate to use the term anniversary, but it was 9 months since the, I guess, the nightmare began. And this may seem kind of presumptuous on my part by bringing you on the show tonight, because we all know how tragic this is, and we focus on many missing person cases on my program. But with the holidays just around the corner, Drew, it's got to make it a lot tougher. And what I thought I'd do is bring you on the program, obviously talk about the case, but talk about the holidays and just the type of anguish that you must be going through right now in trying to deal with everything that has happened. Because, you know, January 24th, I'm not sure when Jennifer's birthday is, but you've probably gone through a birthday. But now you're getting into the Thanksgiving and the Christmas and the heavy-duty holidays here. It's got to be tough.
We did go through Jennifer's birthday, which was May 20th. She turned 25 then.
Right.
As far as the holidays are concerned, obviously it's going to be difficult.
Right.
I think it's something really that we struggle with daily right now. But we are going to have some sort of a normal Thanksgiving. Well, I shouldn't even say normal. We are going to do the things that we normally do on our Thanksgiving, which is have dinner with very close friends.
Right.
I think we have talked as a family that one thing that we refuse to do, Dana, is have what has happened destroy our family.
Absolutely.
We're just not going to let that happen. It will be very different. It won't be celebrated in the normal way that we do.
Yes.
But, you know, we do, even though Jennifer's not going to be with us, and it is very, very hard. It's extremely difficult every day, to be quite honest with you. We have a lot of things to be thankful for.
Yep.
People like yourself.
Thank you.
Quite honest with you, who do care. Who do keep the awareness going with us and for us, and you're many of, you know, one of thousands, to be quite honest with you. But if we just shut down, then we've let the person or persons who've done this to Jennifer really take two people or two things away from us, and we just really refuse to have that done.
Well, the strength is the amazing thing, Drew, and you and your family, and many families that I've had on my program. How you cope is amazing, and something that I'm sure you'll remember that you're hopeful for and thankful for is the beautiful young gal I'm looking at right on my computer screen here right now, and we all hope and pray every day for a miracle. Miracles have happened with these cases, and we have to remind folks of that. And as far as destroying the family and keeping things going, just from the time that I've met you and talked to you and had you on my program, I see a strength, a bond in your family where, I guess in a lot of cases, with a missing person or a tragedy in the family could tear families apart very easily. I'm not sure if Joyce is on the line yet or not, but I'll get both of you to comment if she is. How do you keep going and keep this from not tearing things apart?
Honestly, Dana, it's a struggle. But as Drew had mentioned to you, we will not let evil win twice.
Right.
And I know that sounds somewhat bizarre. Evil robs Jennifer from our family and friends. If we allow, evil will rob us of life. And we can't. We refuse to let evil win twice.
And also, Dana, I think it honestly, truly goes to the love that everyone in our family has for Jennifer and really for each other
right.
within our immediate nucleus family. We are a close family. And, you know, that's our daughter. That's our flesh and blood. And if you venture into having children in this world, I think that we're just lucky enough, I guess, that we love our children unconditionally. We will literally do anything for our children. It does not matter because we brought them into this world and we really feel responsible for them. But Jennifer, I guess you'd really have to, and we really truly hope someday that people do get to meet Jennifer,
right.
honestly, although it will be a miracle.
Yes.
Because she truly is a special person, and I think maybe 2 minutes on the line with Jennifer, and people would really start to realize how special she is. So just our sheer love for Jennifer, we are not going to quit.
Absolutely, and that's, you know, I guess that's the nucleus of a strong family is not quitting and having the faith and the moxie, I guess, is a term that we can use here to keep on battling. And I just want to remind the folks that are tuning in that Jennifer Kesey has been missing from Orlando, Florida since January 24th, 2006. And I encourage you to go to the website www.findjenniferkesey.com. And it looks like jenniferkesey.com is working too. Is that correct, Drew?
Correct. If you go to jenniferkesey.com, it will automatically redirect you to findjenniferkesey.com.
Okay. And I have Jennifer's folks on the line with me tonight, Drew and Joyce Kesey. And we're talking about, in particular, obvious that the family makeup and the family the way that things happen normally aren't happening normally when you have a loved one that's missing. And now with the holidays upcoming and everything going on and people understand how tragic and how difficult that this must be for your family, Christmas, you know, Christmas is Christmas. How do you describe it? I'm sure that you have maybe home movies, pictures, slides, whatever, of this beautiful young lady that I'm looking at here that goes back. And let's talk a little bit about Jennifer herself, because we miss that sometimes in missing person cases. We hear about the person that's missing and the circumstances around it, surrounding that, but we don't hear about the life of the person. Let's talk about Jennifer as a child and growing up to a young lady and what Christmas is like with Jennifer.
Well, she's extremely, extremely dynamic. And I don't want you to get the wrong impression, but she's always got to have the last word. She's got an incredible sense of humor.
Yeah.
And she's just really an infectious person to be around. She's extremely intelligent. She's quick-witted. She's incredibly, incredibly strong and very, very driven. And the holidays have always been extremely special to us. And I am struggling because the person who does my baking isn't going to be here this year.
Oh.
Help me bake.
Well, but she is there, Joyce. She's there in your...
No, we look at...
Yeah.
Holiday being maybe, you know, December 24th, December 25th being Christmas and what have you.
Right.
But I want people to realize that every day is a struggle.
Absolutely.
Because a holiday comes around, I don't know if it makes it harder or not on us, because in reality, every day
we struggle.
Yeah.
The difference between a regular day and a holiday.
Yeah.
You know, Jennifer has been taken from us for almost 10 months now.
Right.
Friday will be 10 months. And I don't know, because a day is a holiday, makes it any different. Every day is a struggle.
And it's got to be. But, you know, I guess memories are one thing, and you don't want to, I don't think you need to go down that route right now, because there are miracles that can happen in these sorts of cases. But at Christmas and Thanksgiving, she's there with you in spirit. She's there with you in your minds and your family's minds. And I see a girl here that probably as a young girl would be the first one that was down, maybe snooping into the Christmas presents a little bit. A little mischievous, maybe, like you say, wanting to have the last word. But a young girl who's an absolute joy to be around, and grew up into a young lady who was an absolute joy to be around. And that must be motivation for you to keep up the fight.
Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, last Christmas, it was revealed some of the antics that her and her brother Logan would do prior to Christmas Eve, when, you know, you'd put some of those presents underneath the tree.
Sure, yeah.
And, you know, the shaking and the guessing, and then, of course, on Christmas morning, the opening of the presents. And it was a lot of fun to sit around and hear Jennifer and Logan share some of their stories of the guessing. And, well, there were a couple of years we pried open the gift, because I really didn't use a lot of tape. And, you know, just kind of very funny, funny things. And we used to hide their stockings, and it was just, you know, it was fun, because each year it was like, where did Mom and Dad hide our Christmas stockings this year?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. If you're just tuning in, Drew and Joyce Kessie are with me, and we're talking about Jennifer Kessie. Jennifer's been missing since January 24th, 2006, from Orlando, Florida. Let's talk about the case a little bit, Drew. What status are we at now? Have you heard from authorities lately?
Well, we are in constant contact with authorities, which we're very grateful for. They, you know, there's an open door policy both ways with the authorities. The investigation is—I have to say—it is moving forward. It's really kind of crazy, though, Dana, because this is not a regular case, and we've come to learn that this is just not a regular case.
Mm-hmm.
That she has been taken against her will.
Yes.
And their beginning it was just very little evidence of what happened to her. You know, we do know that nothing's been used of hers, and nothing has been found of hers, which really gives us the hope.
Exactly.
Still is out there that absolutely nothing has been found of hers to say that she has passed from us. And that really gives us the strength to continue on.
Mm-hmm.
But little by little, I can assure you that the police are making headway. They have as much resources as they need to do the job at any given point. And we know it's slow, and we wish it was faster. But as I said, it's not normal, and we just have to go about it in a way that the police need to go about it. And, you know, it can fall apart at any minute if something wrong happens.
Right.
And we're not privy to a lot of what they know. Part of the reason is because we do a lot of interviews, a lot of TV, a lot of webcasts, radio, and what have you.
Sure.
It's very easy to slip up on some things that they maybe don't want out in public. So we're not even privy to most of probably what is going on. But we are, I think, satisfied that they are moving forward. It is baby steps. We do have to have the patience for that, but we do think that in the end, you you know, Jennifer's case will be solved.
And that's completely understandable, too. You can't let, as much as people crave information and want information to be able to help, you can't let all the cats out of the bag, so to speak, especially in an investigation like this. I guess my next question is, when you go on to a program like mine or Greta's, or you speak to a newspaper reporter, or even with your website, the important thing is, Drew and Choice, and you know this, is just that one tip, that one piece of information that somebody may know that can break this case wide open. And maybe it's this reluctance in some cases to not want to get involved because of whatever reason. But that's not something that we want to promote. We want to promote people to be able to call in tips and not be afraid about that. Let's talk about that a little bit. When you call in a tip, or if you have a tip in this case or any case, I guess, should people be worried about having this come back on them, or can they do this confidentially and be reassured that they won't get themselves into a jackpot by trying to help you?
If people use the crime line, which is 1-800-423-TIPS or 8477 is TIPS,
right.
We want people to be rest assured that there is absolutely no caller ID. There's no identification. You do not have to give your name. You do not have to give anything but the information that you have. And in return, they actually give you an identification number.
Right.
And that's the end of it, period. Okay? The information does get passed on to the police for follow-up, but there is no way for the call to be traced back. There is no way whatsoever that the police can get any names, any addresses, any telephone numbers, or what have you. But if by chance, because there still is two rewards out, if by chance that is the tip, the way it works is you can go to any bank, give your ID number, and the police would have made arrangements with all the banks that if this person comes in, approaches you with this number, that you can give a certain amount of money. So if someone feels as if they're going to track me down, please, Crime Line is not set up with that for that. They are not associated with the police. They're not. And it is a total anonymous thing that people can do, and they don't. Now, another way they can help very big, really, and not be known, go to any lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have certain protections. And the lawyer can contact the authorities with the information, and your name and your identification doesn't have to be let out. Obviously, lawyers will not let that out. Most lawyers will go to jail before they let that out.
Right.
So there are a couple ways, but, you know, we have to get past the fear factor, to be quite honest with you,
yep.
Because if we're in that much fear, our society is slowly going to continue to go down and go down and go down and let bad people take over on sheer fear.
Yep.
And I don't think anyone in America wants to live on sheer fear. But, you know, awareness is the name of the game, and you are helping us with that. America has very short memories, unfortunately. So if we don't keep up the awareness, it will fade away. Now, one thing we're doing, if I may take the time.
Sure, sir.
Coming up, we have two college bowl games that are going to be played in December, and I think maybe even the 1st of January, I'm not quite sure, the Tangerine Bowl and the Citrus Bowl.
Right.
And we have contracted with an advertising agency that rides the airplanes.
Right.
And pulls the messages that you see at the beach and what have you. And we are going to be doing flyovers over Orlando during those two bowl games with Jennifer's with her website, as well as Crime Line, you know, the tip line, 800 number for people to go and give their tips again.
Okay, fantastic. Fantastic. And again, it's just that one tip, people.
One tip.
Yep, just one tip. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. We need to help each other, okay? We need to help each other. We need to defeat evil, because if we cower away, and we're afraid to take these animals to task that are out there, then we're just going to defeat our whole purpose as far as being a normal society, and these types of abductions will continue, and it will.
And I will throw this out too for the people listening tonight too, Dana.
Sure.
That I personally, I think Joyce agrees. Right now, Orlando, in my eyes, is not a safe place because of the fact that we do have an abductor or abductors still on the streets.
Yep.
So we can get that person or persons off the streets. Who's next? And that's what I put out to every parent out there, or really any individual out there. Who's going to be next? And if you want it to perpetuate itself and keep going, then do nothing.
Right.
If you want it to make a difference and have this stop, then please. Sometimes it could be the hardest thing. It could be a loved one. It could be your husband. It could be your wife. But in the end, you're talking about someone who has taken an individual against their will, and that's just intolerable in our society.
The website, www.findjenniferkesey.com. That's www.findjenniferkesey.com, or jenniferkesey.com will redirect you to the webpage. Go there, read the information, print the flyers out, pass them out, get the word out there, keep it going, because we want a solution to this case. And again, Drew and Joyce will be on Greta Van Susteren's show Tuesday, November 21st at 10 o'clock Eastern. Folks, you know I'm on your side, and I will do whatever I can, anytime, any place, anywhere, to try and help you with getting this beautiful young girl back into your lives. And I appreciate you coming on my program this evening.
Dana, we appreciate you taking the time to having us on the show, so thank you very much.
Thank you, Joyce. Thanks, Drew. Bye-bye. Those are the Kesseys. My name is Dana Pretzer. This is Scared Monkeys Radio. We'll be right back.
Well, how many people can stand up and say they had enough of rock and roll music today? If you didn't come to boogie, you didn't come to ball. You got no business being here at all. And it's gonna be one of those nights. It's just got to be one of those nights. Hey, people, I'm gonna give you warning. We're all going to jail.
This is the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. My name is Dana Pretzer. Our toll-free number is 1-877-842-7884. 1-877-842-7884. You can call in and talk about anything you like. The Kesseys, Holloways, the Twitties, you name it. You know, we could do a show, and maybe we should some night do a show, and we just read off names of missing persons, because there's a lot of them out there, people that have been abducted, people that have been killed and haven't been found, cases that are unsolved, high-profile cases, you name it. There's a ton of them out there. I want to draw your attention to a webpage that I want you to take a look at. We've talked about this last week on the show, and I've done a couple of commentaries on that. The O.J. Simpson book, If I Did It, Here's How, or whatever it's called, HarperCollins is pimping this garbage. And maybe the media is doing wrong by talking about it. Maybe I'm doing wrong by talking about it and giving it attention, but I think you need to educate the people about this crap, because I think there's a bit of a... We'd be a bit naive to think that nobody will watch it. I don't think it'll do very well, but there'll be people out there that will watch it. If you go to a webpage, www.don'tpayoj.com, www.don'tpayoj.com, you'll see a message here from the Goldman family, and I don't think they'll mind me reading this from the website. This man is a vicious killer. He brutally murdered two innocent people. Now he wants to glorify and benefit from his crimes. He should be shunned and ignored by both the media and public. If we are to live in a remotely just society, a line of decency must be drawn. Please sign the petition below and let it be known that you do not and will not support any entity that assists and encourages a murderer to profit from his crimes. By signing the petition, you're sending a message to the people that are profiting themselves and who are helping a killer spew his verbal garbage and continue to disrespect the memories of Ron and Nicole and all victims of crime. And that's signed by the Goldman family, and I think that's very well said. Again, the webpage, I've signed the petition. I encourage you to also www.don'tpayoj.com. And there's some contact information of some of the organizations that are behind the publicity for this piece of trash. Fox TV, Fox Broadcasting, HarperCollins, Regan Books, you name it. It's here. Amazon, they may carry it. Borders, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million Incorporated. Let them know that this is, you know, what kind of... Drew Kessie talked about society and letting evil take over society, and he and Joyce said it very well. If we do nothing, if we just sit back and say nothing and do nothing, then the gutter slime of society will try and take over. And here you got a guy, O.J. Simpson, that is profiting from his crime. Yeah, there's civil judgments and all this kind of stuff, but he is making money on this. He is making money for something that he's been civilly found liable of doing. And if he did it, here's how, is gutter journalism, to say the least. Gutter, G-U-T-T-R, journalism, to say the least. And those that are involved in promoting it, in selling it, in trying to get those that are out there to watch it, and they will. You know, you hate to say it. I know O'Reilly thinks that nobody will watch it, nobody will buy it, all that sort of stuff. I disagree with him there. I think it probably will have a good audience, because there's that strange want and macabre by those people out there that are craving this type of twisted twisted, sick garbage. I'll be careful. I'm about to use some curse words, and I shouldn't do that on the air. And they'll tune in just to see that. You know, like some of the reality TV shows that are on aren't worth the powder to blow them to hell, in my opinion, but people will turn in and tune in and listen or watch them. O.J. Simpson doesn't deserve anything for this. He deserves to be serving a life sentence right now. So again, the webpage, www.don'tpayoj.com, www.don'tpayoj.com. Sign the petition. I did. There's nothing, you know, no spam or anything involved in it. Just sign the petition. And if you feel like you want to contact some of the organizations that are sponsoring Mr. Simpson and the garbage that he is doing, and encouraging people to buy this book, etc., feel free and do that too. My name is Dana Pretzer. This is the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. We'll be back in just a minute.
At this stage of the Dana Pretzer Show, we had a momentary server error, but Dana quickly picks back up and continues the discussion.
Bye.
Okay, we're back. This is the Dana Pretzer Show on the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. Are you still getting audio? I lost my server for a second. We all know how painful that can be. I lost the server for a second, so if you were listening and then everything disappeared, I apologize. It went poof. It's just one of those wacky internet things. My toll-free number, 1-877-842-7884, 1-877-842-7884. I broadcast in 1 second, and then the next second I'm talking away, and there's nothing happening. It's just one of those things, I guess. Our webpage, www.scaredmonkeys.com/radio, www.scaredmonkeys.com/radio. There you can listen to the show live, you can hear past shows, you can play them right from the webpage, you can download them as a podcast, you can hear the daily commentary, leave comments. You know, lots of you that listen, and I appreciate that, is nice, but some of you don't leave comments. I'd like to hear, see some comments. So if you listen to the show live, or you download the show, or you podcast the show, or whatever, or even the daily commentary, drop a couple of comments into the section there. It's really easy to do. Just type them in and send them, and we're always glad to hear from you and what you have to say about the program. My name's Dana Pretzer. This is aptly called the Dana Pretzer Show here on Scared Monkeys Radio. I lost the stream for a second, so I'm hoping you're still hearing me, or I'm talking to myself, which I'm very good at, too, by the way. Our toll-free number is 1-877-842-7884. Tom, I don't know what happened. It just kind of went poof for a second. I think I'm back. If somebody wants to... just a minute. Yeah, back. I am back. Okay. I don't know what happened. It went, but it's back. Yeah. I don't know. It just... You know, you can see a little display thing flashing away. It's a VU meter if you wanted to get technical. And I'm chatting away and chattering away like I do. And I look and my VU meter isn't VUing and everything is stopped. Well, I didn't push any buttons. It's just maybe my internet connection dropped for a second. So I apologize. The Drew Kessie and Joyce Kessie interview is encoded and recorded and available. And we'll have that up for you a little bit later on in the show. Again, 1-877-842-7884, 1-877-842-7884. I apologize for the technical snafu. Don't know what happened. It was just one of those things. ScaredMonkeys.com is the place to go for all the news and views of the world. You name it. Politics, high-profile cases, missing persons, missing and exploited. Fun stuff, crazy stuff, you name it, it's there. There's a form that you can sign up to. You can do pretty much anything that you want there. And then once you get to scaredmonkeys.com, just click on the link for the radio and you'll hear yours truly, or scaredmonkeys.com/radio, and everything should be okay then. Yeah, I'm getting some email now that it disappeared and now it's... it's back. Again, I don't know why that happened. So, Drew Kessie, Joyce Kessie, Dave Holloway, Beth Holloway, Mark Lunsford. Yeah, I could go on and on. These people are just so incredibly strong, so incredibly committed to finding answers regarding the missing people in their lives, getting answers that they deserve as families to try and continue on with their lives as best as they can, and we as citizens, as talk show hosts, as police officers, investigators, or just John and Mary public have to do what we can to try and help them for sure. And don't forget, Drew and Joyce will be on Greta Van Susteren's show on Fox News Tuesday, November 21st at 10 o'clock Eastern, to keep this story open and alive, and do what they can to help find their beautiful daughter, Jennifer. Hi, you're on Scared Monkeys Radio.
Hi, Dana. It's Red. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I don't know what happened there. All of a sudden, you know, I can see the, you know, I'm looking at it right now, and the little red or green light is bouncing up and down, and I'm talking away, and all of a sudden I'm talking, and, well, I won't say what I said. I can't say it on the radio.
The music. You'll have to beep yourself, right?
I'll have to beep myself. Have you heard of, well, you have, obviously, but, you know, it amazes me every time that I have a family member on of a missing person that they are able to talk to me for 15 or 20 minutes and not go crazy. Because not just the fact that they're talking to me, but because of all the stress, the anxiety, all the, you know, I get upset if I've got to pay a high bill for a power bill or, you know, these things that we get angry about. But really, when it comes down to it, we've got nothing to complain about. These folks are just incredibly strong.
Yeah, I agree, Dana. I mean, Drew is an amazing individual. I mean, obviously, you've spoken with him in the past. I have as well. And, I mean, the emails that I get from Drew Cassie and the telephone conversations that I have with him, I sometimes, after I get off the phone with him, just have to kind of shake my head, and I have to call him back and right after I hang up with him and kind of be like, you know, I'm here to support you.
Yep.
He is one of the, it's hard to describe when you have a telephone conversation with Drew, because he cares about everything else in the world. And,
yep,
you know, here it is, you know, his daughter's missing, and, you know, I can't even imagine what, you know, what the family, what they go through, and especially at a holiday time. And that's not just for Drew or the Twitties or the Holloways. It's for so many families out there. I mean, we have two cases alone in Maine that are going on where, you know, there's a missing 15-year-old girl, and then there's a 42-year-old missing truck driver. And the families are just beside themselves, and, you know, it's just exasperated by the holidays.
You know, something that we have to focus on a little bit more on the program, and I'm probably a little bit lax in doing that. I know we've had Tim Miller and the Texas EquiSearch people on before, but and we have to have them on again, is the volunteers, the detectives, the law enforcement, the EMS people, everyone involved, or just the citizen that is out helping these folks, and some of the pressures on them. I heard a statistic today, and I can't back it up, but I will share it with you. I was listening to talk radio this afternoon as I'm driving around in my police car, and I hear a psychologist come on, former law enforcement officer who's gone into analyzing law enforcement officers now, that there's a law enforcement officer that takes his life every 19 days, that kill themselves every 19 days. We don't hear about a lot of them. We do hear about the ones that may take their lives in their station house. But the pressure on the searcher, the law enforcement officer, the detective, the volunteer, wanting to help but not being able to help, the families, whoever, it must be incredibly tough. I know in my career in law enforcement, I've come home many times, and, you know, I can still think of cases from 24 years ago that bother me. The stress is unbelievable, my friend, and it's hard on you. I don't sleep. You think about things, alcoholism, divorce, suicide. It's all very, very tough.
I mean, I certainly can't speak from the law enforcement side. I can speak from the searching side of it, having done it. It seems like I may have to turn around and interview you one of these times. But from a law enforcement, I mean, and I just saw something recently that kind of made my blood boil a little bit, and it was, it was a YouTube video of the law enforcement kind of at the tail end of an arrest, you know, after, you know, all the damage had been done, and, you know, you see a couple of the law enforcement people kind of beating up on the suspect, and what they ultimately did was captured, you know, such a finite piece of information of what was, you know, a whole arrest. And, you know, and then, you know, if that's what law enforcement has to kind of deal with at this in the 21st century, where people are going to, you know, conveniently videotape only a part of something and put that up, I mean, that's kind of personally, I think it's ridiculous. But from the searching side of it, I know all searchers want to be successful, and they want to provide whatever form of closure they can to whatever family. And when you don't succeed in your task, it's depressing.
Yeah.
It's failure. It feels like failure. And it doesn't matter what search you're doing, whether it's a high profile or low profile. You know, when you go out and you do something, you know, you have a goal, and anytime, you know, we don't meet our goals, you know, obviously it's tough, and if it's tough for us, I can't even imagine what it's tough for, you know, what the family goes through.
Well, families, law enforcement, whoever, from the law enforcement perspective, you put on that monkey suit, get the pun here, you put on the monkey suit, and I can honestly say that now. I got a call the other day, just changed topics for a second. I've told you this, but I want to share it with the audience. And when I answered the phone, the gal on the other end said, "Are you the monkey radio guy?" And it kind of caught me by surprise for a second, and I almost hung up. And then I thought, yeah, damn it, I am. Yes, hello, I am the monkey radio guy. And she laughed a little bit, and we went on with a conversation. But when you put that police suit on, okay, and you go out and you do your job and you put on the persona of the one that's out there to help. The corny answer, when I'm interviewing a young person who wants to have a job in law enforcement, or I ask them, why are you wanting to do this? And when they answer, because I want to help people, I do appreciate that answer. So you go out and you want to help people, but how difficult is it for the law enforcement officer, the MS person, the doctor, the lawyer, the searcher, the family member that's trying to do everything they can to help another situation to say they need help themselves? There's something that's bothering them. That's tough. And sadly, a lot of law enforcement, a lot of people take their lives because they think it's a, well, you know, suicide, in my opinion, is an easy way out, but they don't want to put the pressure on others because they've failed in what they're doing. And it's something in society we certainly have to focus on and try and help these people, because if that stat is accurate, that one law enforcement officer every 19 days takes his life or her life, then that's a huge problem in North America.
Well, I mean, that would be tragic if it were. And I mean, it probably isn't too far from the truth.
Right.
But the fact of the matter, Dana, is that, you know, these people, I mean, and I shouldn't, what am I saying, these people, you, when you get out of your police car to go, you know, and you could pull somebody over for either a taillight or speeding. It doesn't have to be a known bank robbery. You don't know what you're about. You have no idea who's in that car, what they have. They have a gun in the seat, in the glove compartment, in their hand. And the fact that everybody is so critical of, I mean, and granted, there are some, you know, there's bad apples in every profession,
right,
whether they be police officers, firemen, doctors, lawyers, you name it.
Yep.
There's bad apples in everything. And unfortunately, what am I going to, you know, eventually come back to? It's the media attention that's given. And unfortunately, the only time we ever get to see law enforcement on television is if a Rodney King type situation
That's
is
right.
happening. You don't ever, you know, occasionally you'll get the Fox, you know, police chase, but they'll, as soon as the arrest is over, you know, or the car skids off the road or it goes over the nail strip, you know, they cut to something else because, you know, they almost want to see the something bad happen, let's just call it, to borrow a phrase. And, we do not give enough attention to the good because, you know, as media goes, I guess that doesn't sell. So instead, what do? To get back to something you had spoken about earlier, they put OJ on.
Yeah.
You know, you get these things where, I mean, I don't know who isn't appalled by this. And, you know, I mean, I give Bill O'Reilly, I've had my issues with him in the past. I mean, he sometimes doesn't interview people. He interviews himself. But he's dead on this, and I give him a lot of credit for going after the parent company that basically signs his check. Yep. And as much as a lot of these suck-ups on the Fox News radio, or I'm sorry, on the Fox News Network, don't want to say that this has nothing to do with Fox News, it may not, but it's all owned by the same parent company, so in a way it does have, you know, they all do have a dog, you know, a horse in this race, and it's sick.
How wrong is it for someone to profit from a crime that they have committed? It's just sickening. Did you happen to see Mark Furman on Hannity and Combs the other night when Alan Combs was interviewing him? And Mark Furman has had his issues. I'd love to have him on the show. I've asked several times, but he never responds. But Mark Furman is an officer, or was a police officer, and yeah, okay, he said something that he shouldn't have said, but that certainly wasn't, in my opinion, enough to sway the case and have someone found not guilty of a crime like that. But I was sickened when I saw Alan Combs go after Mark Furman. And Alan Combs, by the way, in his book has a chapter that he thinks OJ is innocent. And Mark Furman makes the comment, and I'm paraphrasing here, that someone will go out and commit a murder and then go and eat chicken. Well, that was just a comment that he was making. And Alan Combs, the typical far-left liberal that he is, decided to turn that into, well, isn't it true, Mark, that O.J. Simpson was not convicted because you uttered the word, I won't say it, and now you're saying that people that go out, commit murders, eat chicken, so is that also a racist comment? He was trying to attract or attach the chicken comment that Mark Furman made to another racial attachment, and it just spiraled downhill from there. I'm amazed, and I saw Mark, he kind of looked to his right, and I think he was looking at the chair, and I think he was thinking of getting up and walking off. But he also is a Fox News contributor, and maybe he thought better of that, that maybe they won't invite him back on again. But I was disgusted. I thought Alan Combs was as low class as one could possibly be in that interview, and I'm curious what your thoughts are.
There were a couple things that night, Dana, on that show that I was actually just appalled by. I mean, Alan Combs, I mean, please, he's so far out. I mean, it must be incredible to be as wrong as, I mean, and still have a job and have a radio show on top of it,
which
or scary.
Right.
But, excuse me, I'm a firm believer, Dana, in that if people think that way, I tend to think that they're the racist. I mean, sometimes we make comments, and there's an old saying that sometimes a banana is just a banana.
Right.
And sometimes when we make comments, there isn't anything meant by it other than just making the comment. And when people overanalyze, overreach, and think something is so evil and devious in their own mind, you wonder what normally their thought process goes on in their, you know, this would be normal for him 24/7, and to come up and make that kind of a comment, because, I'm sorry, I mean, we all thought that OJ, you know, that none of us would have had to have heard from this just disgusting individual ever again. But of course, being in the need to be in the media again, he just doesn't go away. I mean, he, like I said before, he's the thing that doesn't leave. But you make these comments, and you have the media not only trying to blame other people when there was so much evidence. I mean, I'm sorry, all of a sudden DNA is out the window, right?
Right.
And everything that, I mean, rape victims have been taken off of death row. They've been taken off of life. I mean, how many people have been taken out of prison because the DNA ultimately didn't match from cases sometimes 15, 10, 20 years ago? And suddenly, except for O.J., with all of this DNA evidence, and there was blood everywhere, that including in the Bronco, but somehow or another it just didn't fit with O.J. because it wasn't convenient, because we all know the only reason why O.J. Simpson got off as not guilty was a reaction to the Rodney King situation that happened out in L.A. That's the truth. And but worse than that, Dana, with the other night on this Hannity and Combs thing, they both, Sean Hannity and Alan Combs, who have their books done by Judith Regan, basically gave her a pass because they know where their bread is buttered. Yep. And how pathetic is this, that they would go after O.J. Simpson for being the media whore that he is, but they're not going to go after the one entity that gave him the vehicle to do this. I mean, ABC turned him down, and who was it? Barbara Walters turned O.J. down.
Right.
O.J. Simpson didn't shop this thing to Fox the very first thing. He shopped it to the other networks.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
They gave him the vehicle.
Yep, and Furman at least had the guts to come forward and say he's walking away from HarperCollins, and I give him a credit. And before I let you go, because we're just about out of time here, Mark Furman did his job. He did the best that he could in this investigation. He was sacrificed because of a comment, and that's unfortunate, but I only have praise for him in this case. I don't think that there was anything more that he could have done, and the harassment that he took from Alan Combs the other night was just incredible.
It was tragic, Dana. And what's even more bizarre, if you really think about it, look at all the people that defended O.J.
Yep.
in this thing. I mean Johnny Cochran, great attorney, but he did play the race card and dearly departed.
Yep.
One of his very good friends, Kardashian, dearly departed.
Yeah, he's gone too.
It's one of those things that one of those things that makes you go a little bit.
Yes,
when
exactly.
You see all of these people who defended someone that, you know, I'm sorry, he may have been found not guilty in the criminal case, but that was one of the biggest travesties ever. And anyone who doesn't want to look at evidence, I mean, and we've seen cases like that now, haven't we, over the course, because Aruba constantly refers to the O.J. case, that's their, they use that as their M.O. to compare the situation, but the reality being, at least there was a case, and but it was a travesty, it still is a travesty, and I mean, I truly feel for the family of the Browns and the Goldmans. I can't even imagine what let alone his children.
Yep.
What you just gotta wonder.
You're right, sir. O.J. Simpson, Aruba's tourism minister for sure. Thanks, Red.
Thanks. Take care, Dana.
Okay, buddy. Bye bye. That's the Dana Pritzer Show for November 19th, 2006. Thanks to Drew and Joyce Kessie and Red from ScaredMonkeys.com for dropping around to say hi. I apologize for the small glitch that we had in the internet stream, and we'll try and investigate that and try and figure out why it happened. My name's Dana Pritzer. Check out the webpage at www.scaredmonkeys.com/radio. Good night. We'll see you next show.
I know I stand in line until you think you have the time to spend an evening with me.
And
if we go someplace to dance, I know that there's a chance you won't be leaving with me. And afterwards we drop into a quiet little place and have a drink or two. And then I go and spoil it all by saying something stupid like I love you.
I can see it in your eyes that you despise the same old lies you heard the night before. And though it's just a line to you, for me it's true and never seemed so right before. I practice every day to find some clever lines to say to make the meaning come through.